The thing that you dream about are not fixed. They're not something that you can say always means this. So by and large, and I'm going to say today, by the water, it usually means the unconscious. If you're actually riding or swimming in the water, you're in the unconscious. If you're sailing on the water, you're sailing over the unconscious and so forth. By and large, it depends what it means for you. We have to always check it out with the context of your association. And we spend a lot of time saying, what does this mean to you? What are your associations? And I'll give you examples as we go along. They represent universal archetypes. So those are sounds you can remember. The archetypes are in the unconscious, and they're universal. But they're unique and personal for the way you experience them. The example I like to use is the wise old man, the guide, the guru, the priest, appeared to Jung in a very specific form. He called him Philemon, like the Philemon, is that the way it pronounced it? In the Bible. He was a winged creature. He drew a picture of him. Whenever this Philemon would appear, he would say wise things, and Jung would pay attention. So your wise old man may appear in a specific guise to you, but the archetype it represents is the wise old man, the guide. And I feel the Holy Spirit speaks to the archetype of the wise old man. Another example now of water, I'm going to take examples now of specific symbols. You come to the edge of a river and you cross over the river, it is usually a sign that you're changing, that you're going to a change in attitude moving forward, especially the crossing of a river. If you cross a threshold in your house, very important, especially if you're having difficulty crossing the threshold, what's the door closed on you at the threshold? You're about to make a transition. What happens at the threshold is very important. We can't always be crossing over, sometimes you have to hesitate. But what happens at a threshold is very important. What happens at narrow openings is very important. Struggling through a narrow opening is very obviously a birth symbol, or is interpreted frequently as a rebirth symbol. But let us say you're a spelunker and you're going through this cave in the narrow opening. I don't think he's having a rebirth phenomenon. He's just reworking his daily life. You see, so be very careful about generalizing. But in general, going through a narrow opening, and it can be many kinds of narrow openings, difficult passages are often a sign of rebirth. Again, the more traumatic and difficult, the more likely the rebirth is about to occur. And I always keep the tensional opposite in your mind. He says, when there's two opposites, whatever, and you'll see them. Snow-covered mountains in the sunshine are opposites, for example. Whenever there are opposites, you have a tension there, which leads to the resolution in the third place that is already foreshadowed. So the important thing to remember that a dream will present the conflict to you, whatever conflict you're in, and also have the seeds of the solution in it. I can't think of a good example, but is that very clear? When I come to another example, I'll state it more clearly. But when opposites appear, two parts of a dream, one dream is very happy and wonderful, one is very dark, and then maybe even a third one will appear which has the seed of a solution in it. I've worked with people who brought me dreams like this, and Jung has, and it really happens. And in your own case, when you have a big dream, now, not every dream is a big dream, but if you have a big dream, it's likely to have the components, the aspects of the conflict, and the solution. And sometimes it's only the solution, and sometimes it's only the conflict, okay? But a total dream, so to speak, which is built up like a drama, will have some kind of resolution. Now, dreams of the self is not just the ego. You know, shall I talk about ego and the unconscious? Maybe I should explain a little. If you visualize the ego as the conscious part of you, the part that deals with everyday activities, and the personal unconscious, that which you can't use at the moment, but which you can call up at any time you need it. Those things you've forgotten, your memory bank, so to speak, computer language. And then the collective unconscious, and I do spread out my arms here because the collective unconscious is much larger than your little ego. Our culture wants us to live exclusively in our ego and to be rational, practical, and conscious at all times. Mysticism, irrationality, and unconscious are threatening, difficult, and not very, in our society, we don't pay much attention to it. But when you read the Bible, I think it speaks of the truths that are universal, and it speaks the language of the unconscious in many cases. I could sometimes read a parable or a parable or some of the stories in the Bible as though they were dreams, and certainly there are many dreams in the Bible, and I don't think that's accidental. Now, as I said, the self, then, is the totality of your psyche. It is the ego, the personal unconscious, the collective unconscious, the universal aspect, and it is self-healing, in a way. Given half a chance, the psyche will heal itself, just as the body will heal itself, given enough time and rest and good medicine. And a cheerful heart is good medicine for the soul, as we heard yesterday. So the self is a totality that is more than the sum of the parts. It's more than the ego, more than the personal unconscious, more than the collective unconscious. In dreams now, we have images of the self that appear in many guises. Often it is a healing symbol, sometimes it is an abstract symbol, sometimes it's a number, 3 or 4, especially 4. Sometimes it is a beautiful lady, if you are a woman, a young woman. Sometimes it's a man who radiates energy. It is usually a very beautiful person. It is a queen, as a woman, the dream of a queen, that this is a symbol of the self. And it is capable of more than you are capable of in your dream, the person, you know. Or you are crowned a queen, or you are made into something. You're able to do more than you are. Those are examples of the self, self-realized. And every person has an individual path that is his own destiny, that is again mirrored in dreams. And this path is often quite rough, and I don't want to say too safe, but it does, you know, go up to the mountains and the valleys. And if you look in your dreams and see how you are traveling, it'll tell you what your life path is, or where you are on this path. How many of you read Pilgrim's Progress? Yeah. Well, that's the kind of thing. That's a story that depicts the kind of path we go through in life. And it's a labyrinth. It's a labyrinth, I couldn't draw one, and it's also a spiral. Now this is real important, so I'll put it on the board. Our growth is like a spiral. If you look at nature, you'll see almost everything grows by spiral. Look at the change of Nautilus, look at how ferns grow, and your children grow in spiral. Spirals because their growth is very rapid, from infancy to like 6 years. And your psyche grows in spirals. So what happens is I get to go over and over the same ground, but hopefully with
this much wisdom each time. So when you come back to the difficult places, you have wisdom accrued from the time you went over it before. And of course, you're not going to do it perfectly, even with all the wisdom of 60 years, but hopefully you have learned something as you went through this path. And in dreams, you will sometimes dream of dances in circles. Those are symbols of wholeness and growth, or the path, or going through mountains and jungles, going through caves, labyrinths even. Corridors, oh yeah, favorite one, going through corridors with open or closed doors. Sometimes, as I can fairy tale, there's a door that you must not open and look behind, something that you're not ready to accept yet. And then if you dream of a house, the house usually represents your own psyche and where you are on the first floor or on the second basement or sub-basement, is how close you are to the unconscious. This was a classic dream that Jung had, over which he broke with Freud because they could not agree on the interpretation. I mentioned that yesterday. I don't want to see that, but if you go downstairs into the basement, it often can be interpreted as going into unconscious. I say again, cautiously, if you have been working in the basement all day and you dream of going in the basement, it doesn't mean that. You see, you have to have a little sense of humor and awareness, and also know what you've done the day before. Similarly, if you've been a roofer and you're going up to the roof of the house, it doesn't have the same meaning as if you're sitting precariously on the roof, for example, which I did once. I had my Volkswagen parked on my roof very precariously. One wheel was over the edge. So what did you all say now that I taught you how to analyze dreams? I was in a very precarious psychic situation, right? Well,
going down in a house means going into the subconscious?
Yes.
What is going up in?
Oh, becoming more conscious. Or what happens there is what's happening in your conscious life. Now that, okay, going down is telling you what's happening in your unconscious. Being up high or going up means what's happening in your conscious life. And all the people in the house are parts of yourself. And it'll take a lot of time for you to understand which people represent what part of you. But there's one person that you should recognize, and that's the dark, dangerous, threatening figure, and that is your shadow. The man who breaks into the house and decides to steal your jewels is an aspect of your shadow. The police officer is giving you a ticket when you really don't deserve it. It can be his shadow. The ugly witch that springs out at you as you're walking in the lane is aspect of your shadow, as are some threatening animals. And it's very common now, when I'm talking about animals. Am I going too fast the whole time? I'm talking about animals, that a snake is a very important symbol. The snake is very threatening, the snake in, snake in garden, but it's also a healing symbol. And the doctor, Aesculapius, has the snake entwined on his healing rod. So the snake is very important. If you dream of a snake biting its own tail, that's a sign of wholeness that Jung quotes in his book. You'll see there's a picture of it in there. It has a long name that I can't spell. Urobos or something like that. Has anybody come across the picture? Anyhow, that's a snake biting its tail, which is a symbol of wholeness. Now let's talk about symbols of wholeness, some of which I have already drawn here. It may not look very whole, but I started with the circle. Now we all know the circle is a symbol of eternal renewal, wholeness, ongoingness. And I put a cross in the middle. The cross
appears very often. The cross, as you know, is our great symbol of redemption, salvation. It appears in dreams, very important, especially if somebody gives you a cross or gives you keys. Wonderful. So I've drawn this, and I've drawn this cross, and then I have squared the circle. A square is another symbol of wholeness. Well, this is at one level, and then I put a triangle in there, which is three aspects of whatever. Now, you can go on and draw another circle, another square, another cross, and on and on and on. And one of these mandalas, if you look at it carefully, I can pass this around, has many circles and squares and crosses and openings. And these are representations of the psyche, of the universe, the inner and the outer, and it's a healing symbol. It's a symbol of the self, and it's a thing that you can meditate on. Nobody's going to have this in their dreams, but if you look at them closely, you may dream of a round table at one point in a square room, or you may be, if you're artistically inclined, maybe wanting to draw mandalas, which will represent how you feel about these symbols, because they will come to you naturally. They're the symmetrical balance and very healing things to look at, context, modern art. They're always balanced, they're always symmetric, and they use a combination of squares and circles and crosses. At another session, we'll talk exclusively about mandalas, if you desire. I have a book that has some of the most lovely things, including the rose windows. All the rose windows in all the cathedrals are mandalas. With inscribed all the stories of the Gospels, you see. That's beautiful. But I'll leave that for another time. So what I'm talking about now, I started with this snake biting its own tail and the symbol of the self. So any time you have a big dream that involves some kind of swimming life and beautiful person or abstract symbol, St. Constantine, you dream of swimming objects floating in the air, and sometimes you're very lucky, it's also a swimming cross, you know. I mean, goodness, then you're really on the way to a new level of integration and wholeness that you can take part in. And if you dream this while you're in the pit of trouble, you can be sure that you're going to get through the trouble. And so that's why also, if you could pay attention to your dreams when you're going through a crisis, because a dream will often point to something very, very fulfilling. And again, you go through plateaus of fullness, and things fall apart, you're integrated on a new level, and there's spiral growth that goes on and on and on. Some people say it even after death, I mean, that's another thing. I have two or three more things, and then we can have some questions and discussions. Now, symbols of growth, other than what I just talked about, would be dreaming of a child, baby, having a baby, taking care of a child. And the age of the child is important sometimes. Been talking about in a seminar about ways of finding out at what point something traumatic happened to the person. And if you dream of a three-year-old, not just once, but many times, and a three-year-old is causing a lot of trouble, maybe you should go back and ask the person, what happened when you were 3 years old? And sometimes something just turns you that, or five, or seven, or ten, whatever, you know. The child is a very important aspect, a very important archetype, that often tells you something that happened at that age that is important to find out. Or else it's again a embodiment of what you will become. It is the child you're giving birth to. Maybe before you published your book, Irving, you dreamt of giving birth to a child or having a baby, no?
Yeah, I'm a little
girl. Okay.
But it's not, it does happen that men also dream of getting their children and then making or creating something new. Green plants growing, of course. I had a dream of a box with little green seeds that were coming out. It was a midwinter kind of a thing. And paradoxically, or interestingly, when you dream of being in a kitchen, it's a place of transformation. And that is a place where you transform flour and eggs into some very tasty things. So working in the kitchen is a place of growth and transformation. And the alchemist made a lot of this. And Jung was also interested in alchemy, so parenthetical. While you're cooking in the kitchen, and I was talking symbolically, it's important to have a vessel that doesn't bleed. Okay? Burn your heat moderately, not to burn up things. If you burn things in the kitchen in your dream, I'd be a little worried. But if I burn things in reality, let's see. Now traveling, we've talked about the past. You can travel in different vehicles. Especially you can walk. And we're talking about dreams now. Okay? You're in your dream and you're walking. What if you're walking over difficult terrain, you see? Or you're walking in a beautiful field of flowers. Or you're bicycling. Now you're using another means. Or you're riding in a car, which means you're being transported. Or you're riding in a train, or an airplane. And how you travel tells a lot of how you're using your energy. This is part of our evolution once, but there was that same passivity we're talking about today. And passivity and activity is often very clearly reflected in your dreams. If you are too passive, the dream may tell you, go out and walk. And if you've been too active, like you come back from holding, unless you're reworking the height, you might dream of flying in a glider, riding a thing, you know? That's what I mean by contemplative. If you were dreaming after a hike and holding it, you just glided into the up there, that would be a beautiful contemplative dream after a hard work. Okay? So traveling, how you travel is important. What happens to the vehicle? Car crashes, I would say, a lot of anxiety and fear. That doesn't mean a car crash will happen, I think I did to it. It simply means that you're anxious that something will happen. And unless you have ESP, it's not likely to be specifically what will happen. But it does show anxiety. If a plane crash is what it is, similarly with the boat, you can be rowing. Well, first of all, you can be swimming in the water. What would you say about swimming in the water? That's pretty well immersed in the unconscious, you see. Or you can be rowing on the boat, but you're still exerting yourself, you're doing something. You could be sailing, letting the wind do it, and that's wonderful. The wind does, in dreams, represent the spirit. You could feel the wind blowing. It's kind of nice. I don't want to interpret it, but it's usually a nice sensation. It's also important. Sailboat or a steamer, you see. Again, the steamer is the most passive. You could dream transported. So what happens, what kind of vehicle, how you travel, are important things to look at. Now, I have a lot more stuff. Maybe we should run over to tomorrow. What's the scene? Would you like to open it to questions now? Well, somebody says something. So, you can interrupt anytime. Now we come to the part that is more technical, but very important. Everybody has two sides, two sexual sides to them, male and female. And last time I was at Holden, we were reading Genesis, and I remember it says very clearly, male and female, he created them. And not necessarily separate, there was, well, I don't want to get to the creation story, but we all have both sides in us. And if you are biologically female, your unconscious is masculine. If you're biologically male, you're unconsciously female. Jung calls the male side animus and the woman side anima. So, obviously, a man has an anima in his unconscious, and a woman has an animus. Now, when you fall in love, this image that you're carrying on in there gets projected onto this person, whether it fits or not. Yeah, oh my God, it's just everything. It's this unconscious projection. And little by little, the person emerges. You see the real person emerge. Then comes the real world. Then you either have a relationship or you break up. And this is all experience until the good point. If you can work through the pain and work the relationship, you don't just, because with the next one, you're going to do it again. You're going to say that projection. You're going to be just wonderful. And then little by little, the physical emerging, went through it, took the projection. But the wonderful and ideal thing that we all write about, dream about, hope for, is that the projection will fit and that the person will live up to this idea, more or less, not perfectly. And then things really work. Especially if it's reciprocal. But sometimes it fits for you and it doesn't fit for the other person. So the opposite is true. The woman takes her animus and, wait, I was talking about him. The man takes his anima, puts it on a woman, falls in love, he's all wonderful and little by little pulls back the suggestion to call it. And the real person emerges and yes or no, it fits. And what's the relationship on that? That's very important. And in dreams, of course, these figures appear. You carry them around. Those are the figures that you have very fine dream styles. Those are the ones that man on the white horse, the hero, or the queen, as I said, or the romantic hero, or a teacher, a doctor, priest, spiritual guide. They appear, these are the animus figures at different levels of development. But most of all, you will dream of an animus or anima figure. And when you get to be familiar with the dream figures, you will see who your anima or animus figure is. Sometimes it's your childhood sweetheart, or it is a long-forgotten friend. Sometimes it's a person you don't know at all. Very often a mythological figure. And what this person does in your dreams is very important. There are also paradoxes in dreams, as there are in parables. And they're filled with positive and negative things, so that your hero either, the hero on the white horse, may, in your dream, turn into a devilish, ugly, threatening figure. When things like that happen, that's kind of like the movement and opposite, and that there's a lot of turmoil. At the same time, any transformation, when anything transforms into something else, is a really good sign. Especially if it's a good transformation, you follow? Let me give you an example. Jim has a dream, my husband, who's coming up soon, has a perfect dream, and when he's here, he'll give you that dream, because he has one of three transformations, and so, you'll just have to wait. Yeah?
I have a dream
the danger by turning yourself into the toilet.